week at Keeneland, Mary at the Cove, a two-year-old filly by Brother Derek, bred and owned by Barrett and C. Jones, trained by Wesley Ward, won a first start by widening 2 1/4 lengths over a field of 10 well-bred fillies. This filly has stakes potential written all over, and that's where she's headed. Mary at the Cove is the first starter from the second crop by Brother Derek, and in case you haven't noticed, Brother Derek is siring winners at major tracks all around the nation, at Aqueduct, Monmouth Park, Santa Anita, Churchill Downs, the Fairgrounds, Gulfstream Park, Golden Gate, Monmouth Park. Our next escapade, when her first started Gulfstream, Expand the Moment, won at first asking at Churchill Downs. Much Stronger has 2 wins at the Fairgrounds and another at Aqueduct. Miss Derrick has stakes placed out in California. Z Bros, who goes in the stakes today, he goes in the Derby trial, has a win and a second and 2 starts at Santa Anita. The Brother Derricks are running, and there are more on the way. Brother Derek won 5 graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby and the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity, for earnings of over $1,611,000. He stands for 7,500 live fold, and Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. It's we're here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike, and sitting here in the clocker stand, well situated. Just sitting here relaxed right now. Pretty busy morning. Not too bad. How many did you end up with clocking? 70.
Oh, that's a lot. That's pretty good.
70. Well, that's for Saturday morning. That's about average. I would say. Yeah. When the track's good, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, the track's always good, but depending on the weather, let's put it that way. But, anyway, had a lot of fun. And I. Place fills up with people. And
yeah, Matt brought both kids over.
Yeah.
That baby is so good. It just sits there and smiles.
We're going to turn the clocker stand into a daycare.
Yeah. Susie can be the mistress of daycare. Make a little money on the side. Because she's so good with kids. Right?
Yeah. She saw a couple once. Yeah, right. Well, anyway. Things are going pretty good out here. We have had since last week's show. Let me check my figures over here. 11 winners since last week's show. And the trainers of those winners are Philip Jones, Tom Bergen, John Paul Puchek, Bill Hickey, Billy Harden, Matt Frazier. Now, Matt's was a quarter horse up at Indiana Downs. That's he won the first quarter horse race up there this year. Tim Shue, Jimmy Cargan won one at Keeneland. And that same day, Greg Burchill won one at Keeneland. Now, Greg was here all winter long, and I checked the works, and that everything but the last 2 works were right here, so we took credit for it.
Good.
Two works at Keeneland doesn't count.
No, not at all.
Right, but working all winter here, it does. Let's see who else. Tim Shue won another one. That was last night. And somebody else won last night. Jim Rankin from down at Bourbon County.
Good.
Yeah, good old Bourbon County boy. He won another one. So far for the month, through the 26th, we have had 30 winners out of here, so we're moving right along. We'll pick it up this summer, I guess. What are we going to do today? We've got the manager of a rather historic farm, Patch and Wilkes Farm. That farm dates way back. Mr. Joe Goodwin had it way back in the 40s or early 40s. And a good friend, Herman Goodpaster, manages for years and years and years. Herman is had passed away, but he was a good friend of ours and really fond of her. And anyway, the manager now is Barry Erzine, and he's coming in, and we're going to talk about good old times from out at Patch and Wilkes Farm. And because it's been pretty good new times out there as far as that goes, Wise Dan, a horse of the year, was foaled right out there. And so was Successful Dan, of course, who just won the Ben Ally the other day in his first start in about, after 8 or 9 months of layoff, something like that. And of course, Wise Dan won his comeback, also in a Maker's 46 mile at Keeneland. So anyway, and then the dam of those two was just awarded Broodmare of the Year by the KTA and Kentucky Toba. So congratulations are in order. And I don't know, I'll find out today, but Mike Warren over at Macaulay's told me that he thought that that was, the name of that mare is Lisa Danielle. Thought that was the only brood mare that Mr. Morton Fink owned. So
really?
We'll find out today about that. So anyway, we're going to talk to Barry when he comes in. Looking forward to it. Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Blowen will be here shortly, I assume. I'm going to get in touch with Steve Moody over at the Kentucky. He, of course, the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, as I tell you every week, which is published by my good friends at Briss. And the last shot to get in the Derbies today. I think there's just one horse in that Derby that is eligible, Derby trial today, to get into the Derby, and he's got to win it. Can't recall his name right now. Anyway. The Churchill Derby trial stakes at Churchill is today. Used to run it on Tuesday. And a lot of the Derby horses would start in the Derby trial in lieu of works. And
back don't in pay for works.
Back in the good old days, we'll do a bit of history. And, of course, Jackie's announcements. And, Jackie, you want to do a few announcements? Until they get here.
Of course, Rolex today, much fun. Rolex is going on. Yesterday and the day before was dressage. And so today is cross country. And then tomorrow will be stadium jumping.
Tomorrow, incidentally, tomorrow. Do you get my mic in? Okay. Don't forget the Sunday edition of Daily Racing Form. And some really interesting articles in there. There's Glennie Kane, Oxford. Oxford has written an extensive article on the history of Darby Dan Farm. And, boy, it's got some history, I tell you what. I first went over there back when Mr. Olin Gentry was managing the place. Of course, he used to manage for Colonel E.R. Bradley's Idle Hour Farm. It's part of that section is used to be part of Idle Hour, incidentally. And so she's going to write about that. And, you know, she's an excellent writer. And it's an interesting farm, interesting farm. A little connection with our today's guest in Patch and Wilkes, because Balladeer, who stood most of his career at Patch and Wilkes Farm, was bred by Colonel E.R. Bradley. And I know that when they bought him, when Mr. Goodwin bought him, he had his choice between Balladeer or Blue Larkspur. And he took Balladeer because Balladeer was the younger of the two. And he did very well with him. Let's see, what else are we going to write about? John Sparkman's taking a look at the first book of mares that are going to Frankel, and they say it's unbelievable. So that's going to be real interesting. John always knows what he's talking about. John lives down in Tennessee. Tried to get him on the show once, and he's, too far away. There's an article about the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association ownership seminars. And, of course, it's a very good paper. So always interesting stuff in there to read. And they're doing something on one of the hot sires, and Patrick Reed has written about the hot sire of the week, which happens to be Giant's Causeway. That's no surprise. Hell, he's top three. The sire is three times, so He could be hot sires of the last for near decade, as far as that goes. All right. He does it every year. All right, Jackie, back to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was looking for, they're going to have cross-country schooling. I think it's May 6th and 7th at the horse park for the first time. They go all through the summer, and I very carefully folded it over my purse.
Oh, you're in trouble.
So I could bring it in.
You're in trouble with that purse.
Well, I can't find it. So
if it was in that purse, I don't understand why.
Well, I don't think it made the purse. But anyway.
There's three lost dogs in there.
They are. I know. They're nice dogs. Kentucky raining one more night. And Rolex, like I said, today and tomorrow. Next weekend is the spring carriage event. And I think the week after that would be... schooling. You get to go out there and pay him. I think it's $35. I forget, but you get to ride all over the place. It's a lot of fun. There's one in July, 2 days in July. The annual KTA KTOB Derby Trainers Dinner is Tuesday, April 30th. That's next Tuesday at the Downtown Hyatt Regency in Louisville. Cocktails. It's a gala. A lot of fun stuff goes on. Joe Byrne's going to be there. Paul Rogers, who does the Derby call locally on HAS. Tickets are $150. If you are interested, call Vicki Garcia at KTA KTOB. Get your tickets, 381-1414.
All right, let me interrupt you a second, Jackie. Well, Saturday in Chicago, departing a three-year-old Copa Warfront won the Grade 3 $750,000 Illinois Derby. At Calder, the Grade 3 Miami Mile went to Summer Front, a four-year-old Colt, also by Warfront. In West Virginia, Lucy's Bob Boy, a four-year-old son of Flatter, won the Confucius Say Stakes.
Sally Van Service is Ben and Ben.
And Celticus, a three-year-old colt from the first European sire, sired by Stroll, won the listed Premio Emanuel Filiberto Stakes. Now, departing, bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder, has won 4 of 5 starts, has a third in the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. Trained by Albert Stahl Jr., has earned $628,000. Summerfront was a $475,000 sales graduate, bred by Gracefield Breeding and trained by Christopher Clement. Has won 6 of his 12 starts with earlier stakes wins at Saratoga, Belmont, and Gulfstream. Has earned over $471,000. He's the 8th 2013 stakes winner by Warfront, the nation's leading sire of 2013 stakes winners and 4th among sires at stud in North America for money earned. Lucy's Bob Boy has done just about everything that's been asked of him. He has 11 wins, 3 seconds from 14 starts. Has earned over $470,000, and he's one of 3 stakes winners this year by Flatter. Celticus has posted 4 wins, a second and 2/3 from 8 starts, and he just keeps improving. And on Monday at the OBS April sale, a 2-year-old colt by Stroll sold for $200,000, and youngsters by Flatter brought $285,000 and $200,000. Warfront, Flatter, and Stroll stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, here's a reminder from Indian Creek. The deadline for entry to the Keeneland September sales is this coming Wednesday, May 1. Now, let me point out that only 2 of the top 20 consigners to the 2012 Keeneland September sales beat the average in every book they sold in. Let me repeat that. Beat the average in every book they sold in. And one of the 2 is Indian Creek. Indian Creek has long been a respected name in the thoroughbred industry, respected internationally. Indian Creek graduates have gone on to become champions the world over. 6 champions in 4 different continents. And year after year, buyers return to the Indian Creek consignments at the major sales. So here's the phone number at Indian Creek. 859-987-7443. The website is IndianCreekKentucky.com. That's IndianCreekKY.com. Ask to talk to Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan or Alex Gams or Sarah Sutherland. Once again, the number, 859-987-7443. And the website, IndianCreekKY.com. Indian Creek, where success at the sales is a tradition. Well, More Than Ready is truly an international sire. He's got 117 stakes winners worldwide. A 2-year-old colt by More Than Ready was a session topper at the Tattersall's Cavern Breeze Up Sale. and a colt by More Than Ready and a filly by More Than Ready sold for $700,000 and $600,000 respectively at the English Easter sale. In the USA, he is the sire of the undefeated Verrazano, winner of the Wood Grade 1 Wood, and the likely favorite for the Kentucky Derby. And he's earned over $2,104,000. His progeny has this year, and he currently ranks among the top 10 on the general sire list among sires that stood in the USA. More Than Ready aside, three winners of Breeders' Cup races, 14 Grade 1 stakes winners. He's represented this year by seven stakes winners. Verrazano, winner of the Grade 1, also of the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby, and over $861,000, was bred by Emery Hamilton and sold for $250,000 at Keeneland, and he's trained by Todd Pletcher. Champion sire More Than Ready, the nation's leading sire of two-year-olds in 2009, stands for $60,000 to win a full stanza nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Tell me.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Okay, you know, Doc and Mike weren't here yet. And
I noticed that.
There is a massive traffic jam on I-75 at Georgetown somewhere. I don't know if it's north or south. But
they don't come that way, I don't think.
I don't think so, unless things are gummed up because of that's real near. Oh, here they come. Good. Okay. They had a chase this morning. The police had some kind of a chase, they said on the radio, and they blocked off the interstate. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but they're here, so we're fine. We're here at the Thoroughbred Center on Paris Pike. They are having a derby party. Also, you can wager on the Oaks and the Derby, 9:30 till 7, right here. You don't have to go out and go through the drive-thrus at Keeneland if you want to place a bet, much quicker. Saturday, they're going to have a buffet from 12 till 3, souvenir program cash bars, limited reservations. It's $45 a person. Need to call them ASAP. Call Amy at 293-1853. You know what? This is 3380. Somebody asked me the number of this place, and we used to live at 3338 Monta Vista, and that number came up, and I got all confused.
God, we haven't lived there in 20, 30 years.
I know. I can't help it. I remember old stuff I don't remember yesterday. Shuffle Ridge Farm, our good buddy, Joyce Brinsfield, is having a hunter show May 18th, and Sunday, May 19th, she's having jumpers. So it's a lot of fun. Give her a call. This is Nori Scheffel. I'm sorry, George Burnsfield's is sooner than this. This is Nori's, because I looked down here and it said Farrier, Dave Scheffel. I thought, what the heck is her husband doing? Well, anyway, it's real close to us. And it's a lot of fun. Give her a call at 509-0404.
Got me confused on that one.
I'm sorry. It's Scheffel Ridge is that one. And then Valley High.
I'm already halfway down the road to the other place.
I know. Joyce Brinsfield's Valley High Show Stable on Pinkard Pike in Versailles, which is a different county. Norrie's in Bourbon, and this one's in Woodford. Her show is Sunday, May 5th. That's the day after the Derby, and it's a lot of different stuff. They're having Western stuff and English and 4-H equitation and bareback elimination. I think that's kind of funny. The sort of interesting new stuff is after lunch. In the morning, it's walk trot and cross rails and fences and all the regular good stuff. And then it ends up with the egg and spoon. So that's going on down at Valley High. Let's see what else coming up. Masterson Equestrian Station, the next thing, is the annual Sayre School Horse Show. That's May the 11th. May 15th at the Horse Park. Oh, May 8th through the 12th is the Kentucky Spring Horse Shows. Now, these coming up ones are like how many AA rated and all that big deal stuff. This is very highfalutin. Don't go out there with your little core horse and expect to win a ribbon. This is the Kentucky Spring Horse Show, May 8th through the 12th, and then the 15th through the 19th is the Spring Classic. Now, Thoroughbred Registry, they are doing, a thoroughbred incentive program. This is a jockey club. If you're riding a thoroughbred, OTTB, or just never did run, it's okay. They're going to have horse show prizes and stuff all year. At the end of the year, they'll have a big dinner, I think, is how they're going to do it. Anyway, you need to get a hold of these people. I'm trying to think the best way to do that. Because you have to see if your thoroughbred's eligible and all that good stuff, and you have to get a number. Try Jockey Club Thoroughbred Incentive Program. That'll do it for you. Okay. The guys are here.
Well, go ahead and do a couple more announcements, and then I'll do...
Oh, okay.
...that, and then we can...
All righty. TOBA, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders, is having a breeding clinic here in Lexington May 31st through June the 2nd. If you're interested, call TOBA, 276-2291, or go to toba.org.
Hey, Ann.
Huh?
The Hall of Fame thing, you know, yesterday.
Yeah, was, good. You want to announce that?
Oh, well, no, that's all right. I was just want to congratulate Claiborne Farm for Lure and Shadwell Farm for Invisor.
Yes.
Both elected to that. And Calvin Burrell.
And Calvin.
There you come, Michael. He came running right over. I had to say that because he's a Calvin Burrell fan. Yeah. Sit down, Michael.
One foot on the rail.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what. I'd just as soon have him riding a derby as anybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Calvin's a great fan of old friends, and we have a lot of his great old horses at our farm.
Hey. He used to. I remember... Shotgun, he used to ride Shotgun's horse.
Really?
That's about the last bet I've made, I think, was on...
Don't talk to me about betting today. I was watching a horse named Sarava's Dancer.
Oh, my God. And you got hooked in because it's by Sarava.
That's correct. And owned by Gary Drake, who owned Sarava. He had her. And they kept running her short. And I kept thinking... Why are they running? Why would you breed to a Belmont winner? And
this is Michael Bowen, by the way.
Keep though. Running the horses short. So anyway, yesterday at Keeneland, mile and a 16th on the grass, Sarava's Dancer. I go, you know what? This horse has a really good shot in here, at least to finish in the money and do something. And they put Rosie on her. So we had triple old friends. We had Rosie, we had Gary, and we had Sarava.
Uh-huh.
So I'm getting in the car and I'm ready to go, and all of a sudden two buses pull up from Peoria.
Don't you hate people from Iowa?
It's in Illinois. It's in Illinois. What's he talking about? Iowa.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you.
I remember.
Hello.
Next week we'll
study geography.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
What's the difference between Iowa?
I know. Once you leave the bluegrass, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
Where anything is.
Good. So now when you leave Bourbon County, you're camping out. Go ahead.
So anyway, you know the end of this story. Horse wins by 2 and goes off at 17-1.
Oh, my goodness.
Rosie rode her.
And you're on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, Doc, this is Dr. Byers. That's what you call dedication, isn't it?
Yeah, or self-suckering.
Whatever.
I should have had it. Those are the days I should have had an account, you know, one of those counts on the But if I had one of those intertrack way over the phone, you know, ADWs, it would be terrible because I'd be betting all the time. I'd be out of control. So I have to go over to Keeneland to bet because that's the only thing that keeps me, what passes for control.
Oh, you mean you have an addiction?
Well, I'm working on it. Yeah, which one? I got a lot of those. It's fun once you get used to it. You know, beer, horses,
yeah,
bourbon, especially Woodford Reserve.
You've left out one thing now. Women.
Oh, no. I used to be addicted to one woman and still am.
Okay. Used to be. Boy, he covered himself real quick there, didn't he? Yeah, well, what else is going on out there? I know you all are doing some things.
Wow, it's going to be fun. Well, Dr. Alday at Luberson's having a big party on tomorrow night for old friends. That's really nice. Oh, and speaking of Rosie Naprovnik, they're doing a profile of Rosie on 60 Minutes tomorrow night.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I saw a clip from it. It looks really, really good. In fact, Brereton Jones puts in a brief appearance, I noticed, when they were
hoisting her. She was hoisting the Oaks Trophy last year.
Yeah, right.
I believe you can. But that looks really, really good. And then, of course, on Thursday, next Thursday, we have our Ferdinand's Ball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Peyton Siva, the player for Louisville.
Yeah.
He's going to be our host.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
And Rosie's bringing her whole family, and she's getting the special Ferdinand Ball Ferdinand Award this year.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's good. And then on Saturday, the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic, Woodford Reserve is going to present old friends with a check for their bourbon julep cups. I think they sold them all out already.
Whoa. Is that right? Oh, my mm-hmm. goodness.
Boy, that I told Ursula, I said, you shouldn't have done it. You know, 20 of those at 1,000 apiece was really beyond the call of duty. Oh. He's passed out. You won't hear from him the rest of the hour. Now he's looking in his wallet to see if he lost his credit card.
I don't carry one. I tore mine up many years ago.
But that's going to be that's going to be really great.
Yeah, that's really nice of them, dude.
And then on Sunday after the Derby, we have our homecoming. So everybody's invited to that. Steve Norman, the fabulous farrier, and his band are going to be there. We're going to get some beer from Country Boy Brewing. And if you haven't been down there, you got to check that out. Ralph, you better hurry up because this brewery is unbelievable.
Where is it?
It's on Chair Street, which is off of Broadway going down towards UK campus.
Yeah, I believe I know where that is. Close to where the old... there used to be some tracks go down there, railroad tracks then.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know that. Before the he would know that before the car was invented.
Anyway.
That's a real landmark nowadays.
I know that because that's where Dixieanna used to park their train, their car, you know, where they haul horses in.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, once you get within a block of it, you can smell the aroma. It is fabulous. And anyway, they're going to give us some beer, and we're going to have some nights out there too for old friends. So we'll have to let you know about that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Can I bring my own?
Bring your own beer? You wouldn't want to. I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. I had a beer down there the other day that was just extraordinary. They used vanilla beans and all this other stuff, and it was just really, really knockout.
Vanilla beans? Okay, well, as long as they're giving you money, I'm all for it.
All right, Ursula, so we like you. Oh, I've got to do a commercial look in his eye now.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by for three of the most eloquent commercials you'll ever hear in the history of radio.
That's because he loves it because I can't pronounce half the words, you know, especially if it's one of those foreign things, you know. I speak fluent hard boot, and that's about it. All right, well, Close Hatches, I can pronounce that. She's going in the Oaks. A 3-year-old filly from the first crop by First Defense is coming to Kentucky to compete in the Kentucky Oaks. Undefeated in 3 starts, Close Hatches won the Grade 2 Gazelle Stakes in her last outing, following wins at Gulfstream Park. She's the second stakes winner from the first crop by First Defense. Racing in Great Britain, Dundonnell has been a model of consistency. He'd never been out of the money, competing there, and in his only start in this country, he ran an impressive 4th of 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Broke his maiden by 12 lengths, then he won the Group 3 Acom Stakes and was second by neck in the Group 2 Champagne. And in his first start of 2013, he ran third in the Group 3 Craven Stakes on April the 18th. Then yesterday at Aqueduct, New Line by First Defense ran second in the Trippy Stakes after winning a maiden special down at Tampa by some 5 lengths. You're going to be hearing a little bit more about that. So First Defense has sired a graded stakes winner on dirt, a group stakes winner on grass, and a good stakes place runner-up in New York in his first crop already. A Grade 1 winner himself, First Defense, has been bridled song out of the Grade 1 winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, to the top sire's Empire Maker, and Chester House. Of course, the dam is out of the Grade 1 winner and Broodmare of the Year, Troussard. First Defense, Judmont Farm, 7,500 live foal. That's the home also of the proven Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett Orker, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Hey, horse racing fans, grab your smartphone and text HORSE to 84700 to get the coolest horse racing app ever. Horse Races Now delivers entries, results, live video, and replays to your phone fast. You can customize Horse Races Now to follow your favorite horses, jockeys, and trainers. It's like having the racing program to every racetrack right in your pocket. It's fun for kids and adults. Remember, text HORSE to 84700 to get your horse races now. And watch for me on Horse Races Now. Message and data rates may apply.
Well, in West Virginia, in Illinois, in Florida, California, even in Canada, it was quite a weekend for Dena Springs Stallions. Game On Dude, bred by Dena Springs and by Awesome Again, shipped in to take the Grade II $1,500,000 Charlestown Classic. Disposable Pleasure by Jacobo won the Grade 360 sales at Hawthorne. Starship Truffles, a four-year-old filly by Ghost Zapper, won the Musical Romance Stakes at Carter. In California, the Grade 3 San Simeon went to Adina Springs bred Chips All In by the Canadian-based Adina Springs Stallions North Light. Also in California, Procurement by Milwaukee Brew won the La Fuente Stakes at Santa Anita and won 46-1. Fastest 9 furlongs, 3-year-old stakes run in the USA this year. Hunter's Brave, bred known by Adina Springs and by Ghost Zapper, earned Canada's 7 award as champion older horse. Getting back to Disposable Pleasure, this four-year-old daughter of Giacomo is one of 17 stakes horses, 4 2013 stakes winners from the first three crops by her sire. And she won the Grade 3 $200,000 60 sales by nearly 4 lengths, boosting her earnings to over $500,000. Earlier in her career, she won the Grade 2 Demoiselle, ran second in the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose, the Grade 1 Black-Eyed Sudan, and third in the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks. Giacomo, winner of the Kentucky Derby and of over $2,537,000. Stands for $5,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses at Adina Springs. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback at 987-1798 and see the website at adinastallions.com. This Barry? Well, good. Have a seat, Barry. Oh, well, yeah. We'll be right with you. All right, Barry, as I just came in from over at Patch and Wilkes, we're going to get him on here. You came early. You got to sit here and listen to us now. It can get painful. You listened to Doc for a long time. Doc, what say something that make us pay attention to you.
Well, Barry Ezron's here, so, you know, I always have something to say to Barry Ezron.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. I've known Barry for years.
Yeah, well, it's quite a historic farm.
It is.
I'm looking forward to talking to Barry because I go back a long way with that farm. Right back to Mr. Joe Goodwin and Miss Goodwin and Balladeer. And that's probably before your time, Barry.
I'm going to get Barry involved in this. I'll talk a little bit about EPM diagnostics and what's changing out there to help us figure out whether a horse has EPM. Barry's had a few that we've worked on together. And
well, tell us about it.
Well, it's gone through a lot.
You got to talk in the microphone,
yeah.
Doc.
They're trying to get a more sensitive test because the test is not good.
Uh-huh.
70% of all the horses are exposed, and so they get antibody titers in the serum. So it's not a reliable deal. Well, it becomes significant not only for performance but for sales. If you have positive tests, they used to do spinal fluid. And what this article from the Diagnostics Center, Dr. Dan Howe and Dr. Steve Reed, are pointing out that, you know, it's become a little more sensitive, but you want to know if you can sell a product that's treatable or been treated or diagnosed. And so we're still not quite there, but it's getting better. In the old days, they do spinal fluids on the youngsters and weanlings, all kind of, and that kind of got abandoned, thankfully, because it didn't tell you a lot. You just treated the yearling for potentially different drugs, and now there are different drugs to use as well. So, Toltrazolil, Finasteril, and now we have Diclazeril as the first FDA-approved drug to treat them. Now, actually, Diclazeril has been around for a long time, but it wasn't an approved thing until the Boehringer people put it on the market. So there was a way you could treat them and reasonably good success. Potentially, if 70% of them have a positive titer, you don't know if they have the disease or not because it's hidden. If it's not hidden because you get what we call muscle atrophy and hyperactivity as far as the limbs moving.
Mostly behind, isn't it?
No, it can be anywhere. Think about EPM. We don't really know the exact age that they get the disease. We have appreciated younger and younger. Now we go back to saying, well, they got to be at least a yearling. Europeans don't have the disease, so they don't want to buy a horse from America that has exposure. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, they sell a lot of them, but they. Because you don't have the disease in Europe, for those animals that are born there, and it doesn't transfer horse to horse. So you're going to be safe by having a European horse in your stable, whereas if you bought an American or South American horse, you could wind up with EPM in the horse, carried it with him. And we don't know the time frame specifically as to what the incubation period is. So you can buy one and you can have a horse doing great. He's been in Europe for a year and a half, and then he comes up with EPM. Well, he was born in America. Mm-hmm. So, and some of them will come quicker. With it, so it's all over the map. So if the titer, which is called an SAG 2, 3, or 4 antibody, is a little more dense in the spinal fluid compared to the serum, and they look at the ratio, then they begin to have a little more of feel for them actually having EPM. And then you treat them with the Toltrazolil or the Diclazeril, or the traditional one was Daraprim and SMZs. And so about 70% that get treated respond. So if you're going to have a neurological disease, it has a good opportunity to treat it and get it under control. But there's a lot of them that don't. 30% may wind up with the same problems and they get worse. So they typically speaking, they have what's called a distribution of the protozoa that go into the neurons, and you've got two types. One is called upper motor neuron, so the horse is kind of spastic. Mm-hmm. Any length, and it can be right front, left hind. It's asymmetrical. It's not even on all sides like you expect to be a wobbler. Then they also have lower motor neuron, where the disease gets into the spinal cord, into the lower motor neuron roots, and so then you have muscle atrophy. So that's the horse that's got one hip that's shallow, or the neck.
Yeah, I've seen some.
Yep, and so the temporal muscles of the forehead are a great place to look. If you pull the forelock away, you can see if that muscle is asymmetrical, whether you got clinical signs or not. But it just hides there because we don't know to look. Yeah. And so anyway, a number of different things. So to find and we don't have it yet, but it's more sensitive. But if you had a test that would show you you've got the horse thing, whether you've got clinical signs or not, then if it was reliable, predictable, then you knew what to treat them with, and you've got choices that are available to treat them with. So, Terry, Barry, we've had a number of them through the years.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And, Barry, come over here and sit. Sit over here.
Where do you catch it? Where do you get it? I mean, what's the main cause of it?
Well, it comes from marmots. So the raccoon, the skunk.
Raccoons, too. I always heard
raccoons are probably one of the worst. And they get in your feed room. And we've gotten smarter where we're new to get those things, your feed tubs.
Covered. Yeah.
And so birds are part of the intermediate host. But basically skunks, raccoons,
possums,
and the possums are probably more frequently found. But, you know.
Raccoons at our place.
Yeah.
Oh. I've hauled a bunch of them away.
Yeah.
I catch about 20, 25 a year.
Do you?
Yeah.
But I haul them away when I'm loose.
Yeah. Well, I had to shoot one the other day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well,
he was scooting up the wall, you know, and he'd been in the feed room.
Yeah.
And, well, it's my feed room, but it's just a stall. It's been converted over, you know, an old tobacco barn kind of thing. But I just happened to have my little 22 with me, so I nailed him. Well, I would rather haul him away.
Yeah. You know.
I'm not going to tell you where I take them. I take them over to Barry.
You know, you don't know when they're going to get it. You don't know when they're going to get in the barn. You don't know what the exposure is. You don't know if they get exposed and then don't get clinical disease for a year.
Yeah.
So it being able to. And like I say, detect it and treat it.
Yeah.
And we don't seem to see as much as we used to be. And I think it's because we've broke the cycle management-wise of the varmint. So,
Doc, I got to catch up on
that. Maybe it was the 10 caterpillars.
What's that? Yeah,
it was the 10 caterpillars.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I hate to rush you off, but I...
Yeah.
You got more you want to say, but I do have to take a break here.
No, whichever you guys want to.
I'm getting behind here.
Okay.
Getting a little behind my work. Well, the average start of an Interdob earns $53,670. That's more than 26 times the stud fee of $2,000 for a live foal. So if you're breeding a race, that should get your attention. What's more, over 12% of his starters won a place in stakes. Interdob is the sire of the 2013 graded stakes winner Hit Hard Hoof. Winner of the Grade 3 Toboggan. He also won the True Blue Stakes, placed in the Grade 3 Tom Fool Handicap. Already this year, Hit Hard Hoof's earnings to date, nearly $500,000, and he's still going strong. Interdob himself won Graded Stakes Sprinting in Saratoga and at Belmont Park, and he's passing on his ability to win Graded Stakes Sprinting. He's the son of Eclipse Ward sire, Phone Trick, sire 54 Stakes, winners out of a daughter, Mr. Prospector. Interdob, Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus, De Hare, Hall of Fame elected just announced yesterday, Invisor, and he was deserving to get the Hall of Fame, and Jazzle, and Mustanfar. Inquiries to Stand Manager Ken Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about my friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Tack. and leather in Bourbon County down in Paris, Kentucky. And if you're a local and you buy local, which means if you walk in the front door down at Coolin, you're automatically going to get a 10% discount. So walk in there 3 or 4 times, see if he'll give you 30-40% off. I don't think it works that way. Ralph just dropped his beer. but just go on in there when you walk in and buy something. Talk to Sandy or Debbie. If Ralph happens to be around, if he's not working on his upcoming saloon in downtown Bourbon County and downtown Paris, you talk to him too. It's Quillin Leather and Tack. That's Quillin.com, Quillin.com. Great tack shop. And if you easy to find, if you're going down to into Paris, you go to the third stoplight and look on your left. What are you going to say, Jackie?
He's just been elected Businessman of the Year in Paris.
Well,
I think he bought another building.
Did they? Yeah. Well, congratulations, Ralph. I didn't know that. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Well, all those halters. I'll pay him for those halters he just fixed for me. Well, anyway, it's a great tack shop, and it's in Paris. If you're just coming in from the Lexington area, just go to the third stoplight and right there on your left. And check it out, Quillin.com. Well, Mythical Power won 2 great at stakes, sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20 at Santa Anita, defeated Kentucky Derby winner Minehead Bird, ran 2nd in the Grade 1 Wood to Quality Road. Quality Road stands for $25,000. And he also placed in the Grade 2 San Carlos and retired with earnings of over $821,000. He was one of 10 stakes winners in the first 2 crops by Congreve. 5 great at stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial. Mythical Power's Dam is a hard-hitting stakes mare at School for Scandal. She earned over $146,000, and she's a daughter by the Solid Speed sire, Is It True? Mythical Power is standing his first season of stud. 7,500 payable when a foal stands and nurses, and ask about special breeding incentives. And if you really need to take a look at this horse, grand-looking horse, go see him. He's a superb individual. Also standing at War Horse Place are the first-year stallions Midas Touch and Santiva. Midas Touch was the champion 3-year-old of his year in Ireland. He's by the world's leading sire, Galileo. Stands for $10,000 payable when the foal stands and nurses. Santiva is a graded stakes winner of a Giant's Causeway, who sired 2 more graded stakes winners just in the last few days, including a leading candidate for the upcoming French Derby. Santiva stands for $7,500 payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Jerry Assinger, 859-509-0053, or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157, and see the website at warhorseplace.com. I always run behind, though, don't I? That's the way my horses usually run. Get close to that phone there, Barry. I'm pronouncing your right name right.
Ezrine.
Ezrine? Uh-huh. Okay.
Just like it's spelled.
I wouldn't, yeah. Well, you know, I mispronounce everything. Yeah, I couldn't.
I've been called worse.
I was about 14 before I could handle worse. Manager over at Patch and Wilkes.
Yes, that's right.
Been doing business with Doc over here.
It's been a number of years when he was with Haggard Davidson McGee.
Yeah.
Did work with him.
Well,
been using Haggard since, associated with Haggard's, I guess, since 1978. Uh-huh. When I went to work for Jim and Melinda Smith at the time when they were married, and owned Pegasus Stud. And I managed the farm for them and met Jim and started using Haggard's and have used Haggard's ever since.
That was over on Mount Horrible.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first I want to congratulate you. You've raised, it's a little late to congratulate you for raising the Horse of the Year. And Wise Dan, and that's very good. That's pretty good company you're keeping, Doc.
Yep, sure is.
Yeah, okay. and
successful Dan.
Yeah, right.
Followed up.
Yeah, and both of them won this meet at Keeneland. Yeah. Both of them the first starts this year, I believe.
Yeah.
First.
Successful Dan was laid off for, I think, maybe close to 9 months.
Yeah.
And, glad to see him come back.
Came back with a bang.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And I went out for both of the races. I was fortunate enough to be out there.
Did you make the winner's circle?
Actually, I did.
That's good. It's hard to make.
Haven't got my win picture yet, but yes, I did go to the winner's circle.
It's hard to make the winner's circle at Keeneland at any level.
And then I spent, the day after Wisename won, I spent the day, my wife and I spent the day with Morton, Elaine Fink. They stayed the night, and because it was Bluegrass Day, so we spent the day at Keeneland.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it's been a number of years since I really spent some time with them.
Yeah. I was talking to Mike Warren down at McCauley's, and he said he thought that that the mayor, the dam of those two, that was just elected to the Brood Mare of the Year. Did you read that?
No, Doug? I didn't see
that. She was Brood Mare of the Year.
Yeah, she won Brood Mare of the Year, and he won Kentucky. He was champion Kentucky bred, or Horse of the Year, champion Grass Horse. And champion older horse, just like the mirror of the three Eclipse that he won.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when I was talking to Mike, and Mike said that he thought that was the only mare that maybe Morton Fink owned. Is that right?
It is at this time. Yeah, he has a 3-year-old filly on the racetrack, and he's got a yearling filly out of the mare, which he plans on retaining both of them.
The 3-year-old's out of the mare too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What's she by?
She's by War Chant, and she's got a Fleet Alex filly.
Okay.
And actually, we just checked her Monday or Tuesday at 44 days and foaled him more than ready.
Oh, wow. More than ready, huh?
Which is probably more than he spent on the combined stud fees of all of her foals.
Well, when you get a mare throwing runners like that, you get brave.
She throws runners out of everything and anything.
Yeah.
I mean, her, I mean, she set, like, besides the two greatest stakes horses, and they also set new track records last year, she has like 4 additional $100,000 earners.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You don't need another mare.
No, you don't need another mare. But I've had, he's been a client for over 27 years.
Yeah. What does he do?
He's retired. He owned some movie theaters in Chicago.
Okay.
And they contacted me. Me and him and his partner at the time, Roy Gottlieb. They owned Caroline Farm. Mm-hmm. So they had Ann O'Connor.
Uh-huh.
They had a mare named My Nord, who Doug might remember. She was the dam of Atalak.
Mm-hmm.
They had producer. The mare set a sale record at Keeneland for a brood mare at one time, and then they eventually dispersed everything. It was a partnership.
Yeah, right.
And then Mort continued to keep his mares with me, which turned out to be Lisa Danielle.
Yeah,
She actually came to me as a yearling. He bought her out of the yearling sales. And
who bred her? Do you remember?
She was bred in, it's like Triple C. I think she's an ill bred.
Is she an Illinois?
I think she's an ill bred. Because he races in Illinois. You know, at the time, Lou Goldfein trained for him.
Yeah. But don't call her ill bred.
Yeah, I know. But Lou Goldfein trained for him. And you know, he's in Chicago. He won an Illinois bred.
Okay.
And so he shipped her to me. And I said, well, now you got to break her. And so he said, do you have any recommendations? And I said, well, we've been sending our horses over to this really nice couple. They're young, but they've done a great job. Charlie and Amy Lepresti.
Okay.
And so that's how the association came with them.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's a good story. That's a good story. All right. Well, listen, I got to try to catch up here. Doc put me behind.
Yeah.
He does it every week.
I did it in place of Michael Bowen.
Well, Michael blabbed over here for a while. Yeah, what are you talking about?
He'd be awful quiet.
Let's see where I am over here. I'll take a look at that. Oh, is that the latest white foal from over there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you see that, Doc?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. All right. Ooh, my dad hated horses with white on them. And I don't know what he'd have done, you know, if he'd have got something like that. He'd jumped off a bridge somewhere, probably in the Elkhorn Creek. used to breed over there, though. They bred the Balladeer.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Kawaii Katie, winner last Saturday, the Road Princess Stakes at the Aqueduct, winner of 6 of her 7 starts, including 4 graded stakes, an earner of over Well, $733,000 is by Malibu Moon. So is Orb, one of the favorites for the upcoming Derby. Malibu Moon currently ranks fifth on the sire list among those that stood in North America. Temple City, also standing at Spendthrift, is out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. He is one of some 140 stakes winners by Dynaformer. In fact, he's the only track record-breaking son of Dynaformer and Stud. Temple City, a graded stakes winner and track record-breaker with a great sire pedigree, is eligible for Spendthrift Farms' popular Breed Secure program. It's a win-win situation. Also eligible for the Breed Secure program are the stallions Dominus, Line of David, Notional, Patio Prado, Warriors of War, Will Burn. Get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker at Spendthrift Farm, 859-294-0030. Try that again, 294-0030. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, Reborn. It's a whole bovine colostrum. It's good, something really good to give your newborn foals, because it will back up your natural colostrum, which is builds up their immune system as a fat of it. Supplied support through all stages of thoroughbreds, as far as that goes. As a matter of fact, Wise Dan ran on Reborn. So we were just talking about Wise Dan, and he was Reborn. So that's a very good product. Obviously, didn't slow him down any, did it? So to learn more about it, here's a number. It's an 800 number, 901-8498. And give them a call, and you can find out how it's harnessing the power of science to improve superior genetics. Also, that's Dr. Steve Alday, incidentally. And another product that they make is Lubricin. That's Lubricyn. And you can find more about it on the website, lubricin.com, lubricyn.com, or Reborn, reborne.com. You learn more about those products. And it's used by just about every major trainer in the country, a whole lot of them. Well, Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. And, of course, it sustains the integrative joint fluids, and they're two great products. And they're giving a charitable event down at their place down in Shelbyville tomorrow for the benefit of old friends. So they're good people, and they've got great products. So that's lubricin.com and reborn.com. Broken Vows had 57 stakes winners. He's a sire of 6 stakes winners already this year, so he's well on his way to surpassing his 2012 record of siring 19 stakes winners. That was the third best in the nation. His most recent stakes winner, Cyber Secret. He won a grade 2 $500,000 Oakland handicap. He's earned over $522,000. Broken Vows stands at Pin Oak, home also Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. First foals by Cowboy Cal are 2-year-olds, and they look and act like runners. He sold for $420,000 at the OBS March sale. Cowboy Cal is by Giants Causeway. He won stakes at 2, 3, and 4. In fact, he won 6 stakes, 5 graded, placed in 7 more, 6 graded, 4 grade 1. He earned over $1 million. Cowboy Cal, 7,500 live foals. Sky Classic, Eclipse Award winner, he sired 6 champions, 59 stakes winners, and over 100 stakes horses. And he too stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. I'm talking to Barry Zine from over at Patch and Wilkes. How long have you been with Patch and Wilkes, Barry?
I came there in 1981.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just a young man.
I was young, yes. Yeah. A lot younger than I am now.
Yeah. Well, all right, well, yeah. But where are you from originally?
I'm from Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah.
Marylander come down here.
Yeah, I went to University of Maryland, and I got a BS in animal science.
Okay.
And I worked at a very historic farm when I graduated. I worked at Sagamore Farms for Alfred Gwynne Vanderbilt.
Oh wow. Yeah. Who did he have there then? Now, you're too young for native dancing.
Ralph Kurt, I can't remember what stallions he had. There was a farm manager, McIlvain, Ralph McIlvain. I think he was from Florida.
Okay.
Kirchhoff had already
Foreigner.
Left. From Maryland, yeah, from Maryland. And Frank Alexander had been there.
Okay.
And I had never worked with training horses before. And the first day, they didn't have room for me in a broodmare barn yet. And they put me in a training barn.
Oh, okay.
And they have an indoor training track there. It's a magnificent farm. And I'm glad that it's been able to be restored. Because at one point, they were talking about, you know, making a subdivision out of all the place. It sits in just a beautiful area of Maryland, in Worthington Valley.
Yeah.
And that's where the hunt comes through. And I worked there for about a year, and Steve Johnson from Margo Stud, who actually I met at the University of Maryland.
Is he a Marylander too, Steve?
I think he is from Maryland.
I know John Williams is.
John is.
Yeah.
And I had met Steve at the university. He was a grad student, and I was an undergrad. And I worked.
Okay.
He was the manager of the research farm for the University of Maryland.
Yeah.
And I worked for him there. And then Steve called me up and asked me if I'd come to work for him at Thornmar Farm on the Eastern Shore in Chestertown, Maryland.
What was the name of it again?
Thornmar.
Thornmar.
Yeah,
okay.
Charlie and Cynthia McGinnis.
Okay.
And,
oh yeah.
I worked for there for 2 years. After the first year, Steve left and came to Spendthrift. Mm-hmm. And then I decided it was time for me to leave, and I started looking for jobs.
When did you go to, what year about was it in Spendthrift?
I came down here, and then I came to Spendthrift in 1977.
Okay, then John Williams was.
John Williams had just become the farm manager. He was the yearling manager.
Yeah, okay.
And became the farm manager.
Yeah.
I was Steve's assistant for the client mares.
Okay.
We had about 300 client mares.
Yeah.
And I was his assistant. And then the farm manager for the farm owned mares left. I'll think of his name in a second. But Steve moved over to the farm owned mares, which were Mr. Combs and a couple select clients. And Rick Nichols came and took over Steve's position as the farm manager on the client mares. And I remained the assistant. Stayed there for a year. Had met the Smiths. And they had offered me a job, and then I went to Pegasus in 78 and stayed there for 3 years. And then through some mutual friends, I met Warren Rosenthal, and he offered me a job.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've been there ever since.
Yeah. Now, you met Herman. Herman Goodpasture, of course, was a good friend of mine, and what a nice guy. And we got to talking about him a little bit.
Yeah. You know, he I really enjoyed talking to Herman, and, you know, I think at first I would invite him over to the farm when we were redoing the farm, and I think it was very hard for him to come over and see the restoration of the farm, because I think he had been there since, like, 1920 or something. He was a very young man when he came.
Yeah.
And but eventually he softened up, and he lives right over on Hume Road, which is 2 minutes from us. And I would go over there and I'd say, Herman, I have a white foal. And because he gave us Precious Beauty, which was the dam of Patchen Beauty.
Okay.
Judy Fuson had her, and she was breeding paint horses.
That was Judy Campbell. Fusion.
Correct. Yeah. T.O. Campbell's daughter.
I knew Owen real well, too.
And she lived she had the farm on Winchester Road.
Yeah.
On the other side of the interstate. And she was breeding paint horses to this mare.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a couple of the foals turned out all white. They didn't have any markings at all. So she couldn't use them as a paint horse. So she decided she didn't want them anymore. So Herman called me up and he says, do you still want one of those white mares? And I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I went over with Warren, and we looked at her, and it's when they weaned the foal, they called me up, and we brought her back to our farm.
Yeah.
And that's how we were able to acquire one of the white mares, and because Warren really wanted to continue the white mare tradition on Patchen Wilkes.
Yeah, that for those who don't know, that was where the first white thoroughbred was foaled, right at Patchen Wilkes in 63,
yeah.
White Beauty. And she knows she could run a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won races with her. Herman, he did everything. He trained.
We trained right on the farm.
Yeah.
The training track. We restored the training track.
Yeah.
It's now a grass track.
Yeah.
And we don't use it, but we use the infield for turning out mares.
Yeah.
And but it's one of the oldest half mile training tracks in this area.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he had to go through a lot to get that mare registered, didn't he? You were telling me about.
He did. Yeah. 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 I mean, the jockey club didn't believe him, and they brought in a team of veterinarians, and they told him, they said, if this thing is not a thoroughbred, you are ruled off. You will never breed another horse.
Yeah.
And they drew blood on the horse, on the mare, the baby at the time, and he followed them to the airport, he told me, and made sure that they took her blood and put it on the airplane to fly to California.
Yeah, I'd have followed him too. Yeah, I had talked to him about it too, and he says, "Boy," said he thought long and hard about that. Said, "But you know,
it gave him a lot of headaches."
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, shortly after that, there was a white horse foaled in France,
Mont Blanc.
Yeah,
same year. Yeah, and in fact, I think the either Herman or the Good Pastures commissioned Dr. Petro from mm-hmm. Transy to paint both of them. So those original paintings are done by
is that right?
Him.
Yeah. You know, there's one that's training out here now that's running.
Is there?
Chief White Fox.
Okay. I saw that he was, I found out after the fact that he ran, but he's by our stallion. He's by the White Fox who passed away. But he was at Apache Beauty.
Yeah.
And he stood at Hopewell Farm for a couple of years.
Yeah. I knew it was from that same family.
You know, and the first year, I think they bred six mares to him, and none of the foals were white. And the next year, they bred six mares to him, and three foals were white.
You ought to go look at this horse. It's not a bad looking, pretty good horse. Yeah. Pretty nice looking horse. He's over in barn 28.
Okay.
Yeah. Paul Brown's got him. Paul
right, Brown, yeah, because he's just right up the road from me on Winchester Road.
Paul is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And after he had that foal, he wanted to breed back to the stallion, and he wanted to breed her on the foal heat and missed her or something, and it wasn't a couple of days later that he passed away. Yeah. And he called me back and wanted to breed the mare, and I said, I'm sorry.
Paul brought me this picture. This is when he was turned out on the farm out there. He was just a yearling at that time. But that's him.
So I've got a 2-year-old colt that's with at Charlie and Amy's farm, and he'll go up to Bill Conley probably in the next week or two.
Well, what do y'all do with these horses? Yeah,
we race them all.
Yeah, okay. You know. Have you done any good with it?
Well, Patch and Beauty, all of her foals up until the last two of the race were winners.
Mm-hmm.
Spot of Beauty, who's the dam of the foal that had the colt this year with the color. She was a winner. Patch and Prince was a winner. I mean, I can't remember all of them, but, you know, she's had winners. So, actually, they were both – I had two geldings, and one of them actually is at the horse park in the Prater Breeds.
Okay.
Which is great because so many people call us and want to come out and see the white horses. And now they can go to the horse park.
Now, isn't there somewhere there's a place up in Michigan or someplace like that that tries to breed white horses?
There was a place out in out west.
Was it?
And actually, I just got on a website last night. Somebody linked to me on Facebook. And I think all those horses were sold, and they're somewhere in Kentucky now.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, my people Lord. Bought the whole, all the broodmare band.
The whole kit and caboodle.
They have all these white mares.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. Let me take a break here. I'm still running behind. Well, last Saturday at Keeneland, the Grade 3 $200,000 Coolmore Lexington Stakes was won by Winning Calls, a 3-year-old colt by Giant's Causeway. And out in California, a 4-year-old filly by Giant's Causeway. I got in a duel with Lady of Shamrock, a 4-year-old filly by Scat Daddy. Of course, Scat Daddy and Giant's Causeway both stand at Ashford Stud. And she was disqualified to second in a Grade 2 $150,000 Santa Barbara Handicap. Winning Cause is a $200,000 graduate, sales graduate, bred by Galleria Bloodstock and trained by Todd Pletcher. 3-for-3 at Keeneland. He is one of 2013 stakes winners by Champion Sire Giant's Causeway, the sire also of Table Aux, who won a Group 2 race at one I can't pronounce in France Monday. and is headed for the Group 1 French Derby. And handle that. Lady of Shamrock's win in the Grade 2 Santa Barbara boosted her earnings to over $835,000. Bred by Grovendale Sales, she won 5 stakes last year, including the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks and the Grade 1 American Oaks. Her Santa Barbara win follows by just 1 week the score of Handsome Mike, a 4-year colt by Scat Daddy, in Keenan's Grade 3 Commonwealth Stakes. Grade 1 winner 2 and 3, Scat Daddy, is a sire of 12 stakes winners, 4 this year, in his first 2 crops. He is the leading freshman sire in 2011, second-ranked second-crop sire last year. Scat Daddy and Giants Causeway both stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more information, call the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXC Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville! What price they'll cost?
But last week at Keenan, Mary at the Cole, a 2-year-old filly by Brother Derek, bred and owned by Brad and C. Jones, trained by Wesley Ward, won her first start by widening 2 1/4 lengths over a field of 10 well-bred 2-year-old fillies, and this filly has stakes potential written all over, and that's where she's headed. Mary at the Cove is the first starter from the second crop of Brother Derek. And in case you haven't noticed, Brother Derek is sighing winners at major tracks all around the nation, at Aqueduct and Monmouth, and Santa Anita, Churchill, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Golden Gate, Monmouth again. Now, our next escapade won her first start at Gulfstream. Expand the Moment won at First Asking at Churchill Downs. Much stronger as 2 wins at the Fairgrounds and another at Aqueduct. Miss Derrick stakes place out in California. Z Bros, who goes today in the Derby Trial Stakes up at Churchill, has a win in a second and 2 starts at Santa Anita. The Brother Derricks are running and there are more on the way. Brother Derek won 5 graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby and the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity, and he earned over $1,611,000. He stands for $7,500. Live full of Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, I'm talking to Barry Uzan over at Patch and Wolves. Barry, you all are market breeders, or what do you all doing over
there? Commercial breeders.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Except for those white ones. And
except for the white ones. I'd like to sell a couple of them. We actually tried selling them one white colt a couple years ago, and he was sold at Keeneland January sale.
Yeah.
And there was a problem with the buyer and his credit. He didn't have any credit.
Oh.
And
just a lot of gumption to bid.
The horse brought $60,000.
Oh, my.
And he thought he was breeding he thought he was bidding $6,000.
Oh.
And got a little mixed up. And
well, it was just a zero off.
Yeah, it was a lot of zeros for me. So we just, we talked to Keeneland, and we just took the horse back.
Yeah.
And let it go. And Warren would never sell any of the fillies.
Yeah.
But we have one now aptly named, the 2-year-old is named Take Me to Hollywood.
Take Me to Hollywood.
So we're hoping that somebody buys them and takes them to Hollywood.
You brought me the picture of this one. Is this a new one here?
Yeah, this is a colt by Thunder Gulch that was born this year.
Thunder Gulch.
By Thunder Gulch.
I guess
he can, I haven't really pursued it, but he could be cross-registered as a paint horse.
I would imagine.
And
boy, got a lot of white on him. My dad would have shot him on sight.
Which one's going to be in the movie?
It's not one of ours. I think it's out of the horse that the farm. It's the ones out west. I think it's Oregon or something like that. And then they moved to Kentucky. They all started from Airdrie Apache, who was bred by Brereton Jones. He was out of a mare named Not Quite White. He looked like a paint horse.
What was that thing that he had down there that was getting all that white?
It was the mare, I think.
No, it was a stud.
Oh, there was a stud, too?
Yeah, it was a stud that did that.
That I'm not sure, but then Airdrie Apache, these people bought them and moved them out west, and they started breeding them, and they started getting a bunch of white foals.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's a whole bunch of them because, back when Patch and Beauty was born, I think, this is in 1995, there was only like 8 white thoroughbreds ever registered by the Jockey Club. And now I bet you there's at least 50, 60.
Is that right?
But because of the stallions there. And I saw twofold salted Fezzy tipped in a number of years ago, like the first or second crop out of this by him. I saw him, and where a lot of ours up till this one have been pure white, didn't have any other color coat on them. They had like chestnut ear or splotches of color here and there.
Yeah. The one out here is pure white.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got a 2-year-old and a yearling filly that are pure white, and then I have this foal who's got color all over him.
Now I'm trying to remember. Now White Beauty was by Kentucky Colonel, and I'm trying to remember what color he was, and I'm afraid to say.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I
saw the horse, but I can't remember what color he was. Of course, he was a balladeer.
Yeah,
and. I know that sire line pretty well.
Right.
Yeah. So, and was a decent kind of stud horse. You know, sire had a lot of useful horses.
And then another problem is that, like the mare, the fillies out, Warren would not run in a claiming race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, competitively, they probably needed to be in claiming races, but he didn't want to lose them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Patch and Beauty won, $52,000 back in the late 80s. That's not too bad.
No.
I mean, late 90s, not too bad. Not too bad. She paid her way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I had some fun with her.
He had a ball with her.
A lot of comments.
Yeah. the tracks loved her to run, too. They had, Turfway told me they had increased handle, increased attendance.
Is that
increased
right?
OTB attendance. Mm-hmm.
That right?
They'd like to see him there.
How about that? Well, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Get fans out there and get them to bet.
Well, what size broodmare bear do you all have out there now?
I've got 13 foals this year.
Who are you breeding? Who are they by?
Five of them are not ours. They're client mares.
Okay.
The rest of them are ours. Mm-hmm. I got 16 mares, and five of them aren't ours.
Yeah.
We breed to mostly proven stallions. We just bred a mare to Spikestown.
And he done well.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah. We actually bred the two white mares that we have, the Cowboy Cow, one of your sponsors.
Yeah.
We've got some foal by More Than Ready. I've got a Malibu Moon foal.
You named two other my sponsors, Windstar and Spencer.
Yeah. We're breeding about six mares out at Windstar.
Uh-huh. Well, they've got quite an array of studs out there now. Yeah. The sire list just keeps going, almost like Mr. Combs.
Well, it doubled up or tripled up this year.
I remember when Leslie Combs had about 40 studs out there.
Yeah,
a lot of them you never heard of.
Well, I mean, and I, back in '77 when I got there, that's then right after that was Seattle Slough came and Affirm came.
Yeah.
So.
I was there when they brought Seattle Slough out there. Remember when they had all the press and the people out?
Yeah,
and everything?
Yeah.
You damn near got loose. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yes, he sure did. Yeah. The crowd was all around him and everything. And I think the vet that would own him, what was his name? Anyway, he had him on the shank in the middle, He was pretty near loose. And the stud man took over after that.
Yeah. I remember, Nashville being in that first paddock right there by the guard shack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, Swaps was there, too, later on. Of course, he went to Darby Dan, and he stood a couple of years out in California, went to Darby Dan, but they ended up with both Swaps and Nash were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Swaps.
Yeah. That was a little bit before my time, too.
Get out.
Sorry.
It's hell when you outlive everybody.
Oh, look here.
What are you looking at,
Jim? Horse loose in the infield.
Oh, my goodness.
Coming down here.
Horse loose in the infield. Well, didn't
coming
want
to down here.
Where's the rider?
I don't know. See a rider?
He's loose in the infield too, I guess.
I guess he jumped the fence. Oh, there he is.
Short.
No, see right there, walking over. The rider is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we see him, Jackie. They can't hear you. That's all right.
The rider.
Well, I don't think your mic's on. Hey, Bressy, turn my wake up.
The horse was on the lower track, and jumped the outside rail on lower track, and he's over here wandering about.
Well, the grass is good there.
It's right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Get me out of here.
Well, go on. You would tell me who else you were breeding to there.
Scat yeah. Daddy.
Doing extremely well over at Ashford Stud. They're nice people to do business with, too.
They're great people.
Yeah, another sponsor. Yeah.
Just brought a mare for a client to parading
this
morning.
Good.
To all your clients.
Yeah, how about that?
I'm just trying to think of all. I'm drawing a blank.
You even use my feed company.
I do. McCulley. I've been using McCulley feed since I was at Pegasus Stud.
Yeah.
I know Dr. Smith was is very good friends with Graham McCulley. Mm-hmm. And I started using their feed then, and I continue to use their feed. You know, and I meant to call them and say, hey, you know, Horse of the Year was raced on your feed.
Yeah.
And I never did, but they're probably listening now.
McCauley's?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't been listening because I've been plugging that.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you all have been making that. They like to announce the breeders of the stakes winners every week, you know, mm-hmm. that'll raise on their products, and you all are always in there.
Right.
That's one of the things that made me.
Yeah. Unfortunately don't listen to the radio very much.
Well,
I'm not in my.
Well, we'll see you later, Barry.
I'm not in my truck, and so I don't have the radio on, and I'm usually, if I'm not.
Why don't you buy a new truck with a radio?
I'm out mowing, and my mower doesn't have a radio in it.
Well, I mow on a tractor with it, and I listen to the radio at the same time. Mowing. You just get a set of earphones and put them on, and although it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, what do you got to sell this year? Let me plug what you're selling.
Got two of Fleet Alex, Colton Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Got a Curlin Philly to sell. I've got a Tappet Philly to sell.
Oh, wow. They're hot horse.
We're going to keep a Tisnail Philly. And I got a Bluegrass Cat Colt to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he's not a New York bred.
No.
I wish he was, but,
He hadn't been up there that long, 2 years.
No, we bred him the year before he went up there.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty small crop. And then I got a couple client foals that they'll keep in. I got a half sister to Wise Dan that we'll send off to be broken this year.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Barry. I appreciate you coming in.
Well, I'm glad to do it. And
had some fun talking to you.
Hopefully, we can talk about this next year when Wise Dan repeats everything.
Well, I hope that's right. Yeah. Maybe one of these days, one of these white things will win a stakes race, and we'll really have something to talk
about. That would be something to talk about.
All right. All right, Barry. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you
for coming. Don't forget your water there.
Okay.
All righty. Well, Sanity in Chicago, departing a three-year-old colt by Warfront, won the Grade 3 $750,000 Illinois Derby. At Calder, the Grade 3 Miami Mile went to Summerfront, a four-year-old colt by Warfront. In West Virginia, Lucy's Bob Boy, a four-year-old son of Flatter, won the Confucius Say Stakes. And Celticus, a three-year-old colt in the first European crop, sired by Stroll, won a listed stakes in Europe. Now, departing, bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillsnyder, has won four of his five starts, with a third in the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. Trained by Albert Stahl Jr., he has earned $628,000. Summerfront was a $475,000 sales grad, bred by Graceville Breeding, trained by Christopher Clement, and he's won six of his 12 starts, with earlier stakes wins at Saratoga, Belmont, and Gulfstream. He's earned more than $471,000. He's the eighth 2013 stakes winner by Warfront, the nation's leading sire 2013 stakes winners. He also ranks fourth among sires at stud for money won on the North American sire list. Now, Lucy's Bob Boy has done virtually everything asked of him. He has 11 wins in 3 seconds from 14 starts. He's earned over $470,000. He's the third 2013 stakes winner by Flatter. Celticus has posted four wins, a second and two-thirds from eight career starts, and he keeps improving with every start. And on Monday at the OBS April 2-year-old sale, Stroll, a youngster, sold for $200,000. For $200,000. And the youngsters by Flatter brought $285,000 and $200,000. So Warfront, Flatter, and Stroll, Claiborne Farm stallions. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at Claiborne Farm.
Hillparkers.com. I want to talk about my good friend, Hill Parker, who's in the real estate business. Saw Hill this morning galloping his own horse out here. He's a hands-on horseman. We were talking about a horse that he won some races with last year named Rudyard Cade, races for his mother, who is Frances Hill Myers, and made his first start on April the 20th. In North Carolina at a track steeplechase there. It's a maiden special race run over the national fence. It's going 2 3/8 miles. And old Rudyard Cade by Kipling, a well-named horse, won his first start. Isn't that amazing? And he said it was, Hill told me, I had him on the air three or four weeks ago, and he told me, says, yeah, you know, that the horse was doing really good. So congratulations to Hill and his mother, and it's came from off the force of pace and came from off the pace, won by 3/4 of a length. Now, Hill, as I said, he and his wife Reagan are in the real estate business. You got a great website you need to go. It's called LexHorseFarms.com, L-E-X-H-O-R-S-E Farms.com. I browsed around on it just the other day, and boy, they've got some really nice places to sell, and one of that I'm really is a 75 acre horse farm, turnkey operation over in Bourbon County with a nice home on it. Really good price, boy. I tell you what, so you need to call Hill and talk about that. If you and you want somebody that will list do really work for you, well, Hill and Reagan to do it. You get they work as a team, so you get two for the price of one when you go with them in real estate business, and they're experienced, over 12 years experience in real estate. And once I say he's a hands-on horseman, so he knows what horsemen want and what they need, what they're looking for, and he can find just find that perfect farm for you. And they'll look for you until they find it, if they don't have it listed. But they've got places listed in just about every county around here, Fayette and Bourbon and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, and Clark County, outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and prices. So go to that website, LexHorseFarms.com, or give Hill Reagan a call, 859 number, 608-8039. Nice people, real nice people. Well, Country Day, a versatile stakes winner by the leading sire, Spitestown, is standing his first season stud for $5,000. Payable when the foal stands in nursery. Stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Country Dre won 3 stakes and placed in 5 more, including the now Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. He won at the fairgrounds at Keeneland, at Presque Isle, at Oaklawn, at Delaware, wherever he was asked to run. Went on dirt, grass, artificial, and he earned over $504,000. His sire, Clipswater winner Spitestown, ranked number 2 on the 2012 sire list among stallions that stud in North America, and he ranks number 2 again this year. Country Day's Dam, Hidden Assets, won Greatest Stakes. She's one of 77 stakes winners by Mount Livermore. Hidden Assets has produced 3 stakes winners, and the female family is loaded with black type. You're invited to visit the farm to inspect the stallions. Be sure to inquire about breeding incentives when you call, and see the website at CrestwoodFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for doing that across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
I'm hitting. All right. Last derby prep today. I think there's one horse in there. Well, maybe Steve can tell me if I'm right about that. That if he wins, would make the field. Is that right, Steve? The Derby trial down at Churchill?
Well, I think the only one that's expected, Ursel, if he were to win, would probably be Titletown 5.
Yeah.
The Lucas Paul Horning horse, and I think they'll be basically leaving no stone unturned to try to get Horning into the Derby. But I don't know if even if he wins, I'm not sure. I think there's a bunch of horses with 20 points, so I'm not sure whether that would actually get him in or not. might get him in a tie. And okay. I don't know how they have to, may have to break the tie after that. But
okay, well, you cleared that up. I screwed it up, and you cleared it up.
Well, I don't know. It's still pretty murky, but anyway.
All right. Well, what does the race look like to you, Steve?
Well, I've got a 9-horse field, 3-year-olds, going in the Grade 3 Derby trial, and pretty well-matched race. The one thing that kind of sticks out here, it looks like there's going to be a fair amount of speed in here with the Baffert runner is the three Z brothers or Z bros. Comes off of a real big maiden win, his second career start. Followed up with some typical Baffert bullet works. And he's going to be out there winging it early, but he figures to get some, have some company here with Title Town 5 and I think a couple of others here that are going to show some speed. So I think it's going to be pretty lively on the front end of this one-turn mile. And I kind of think the winner is going to be something that can rate just off of it and make a run. I finally settled on the 5-horse here, Ursel Rubel. This is an exchange rate colt that gotten better each time out for Ian Wilkes. He's sort of known as a guy that sort of kind of takes his time and doesn't rush too much. And this horse has steadily improved. I think that he can rate off the pace. He doesn't have to have the lead to win. I think the one turn mile suits him pretty well. So I'm going to maybe go with him for a kind of a mild upset here. Another horse that I think with the chance at a price is the 2-horse, Ruler of Love. First time out on the dirt, he got a win for trainer Joan Scott, and that was a big effort last time. And, he's another one that will be running late. So another one to look at, the 1-horse Officer Alex. He's really going good now. The question for him is the mile distance. One thing is he does move up considerably if the track comes up wet. So if we have rain later on today, of course, this race won't be run until about 10:30 tonight because they're starting at 6 o'clock post time tonight. And so, if we do have rain, I think Officer Alex certainly moves up on and off track. As I mentioned, you got the Baffert horse who's going to show speed, and you got 40 Tails from the Pletcher barn. He's got a couple of them in here. I think he'll be running from off the pace. You got, of course, Joel Rosario riding for Pletcher, and he's coming off a huge, course meet at Keeneland, where he rode most of the Kenny Ramsey horses. As he just eviscerated every owner record. Probably, I can't imagine anybody ever having a meet like that again at Keeneland in a 15 or 16 day period. So, pretty well matched Derby trial. Like I said, I'm going to look for a price in here. Going with the 5 Rubel. We'll go 5, 2, and 3 in the Derby trial.
5, 2, and 3. Well, can I count on you next week to give me the winner of the Derby?
Well, you can count on me trying to figure it out, but you can count on me giving you winners, another matter.
Who are you leaning toward?
Well, I'd have to say that probably Orb and Revolutionary, or they're definitely in the mix. Normandy Invasion is another one I think could run well. There's a horse that horse of Dallas Stewart's that unfortunately I don't think is going to get in the race. I think if he did, I'm not sure if he's maybe not quite good enough to win it, but I think he could run in the money at a huge price, the Golden Soul. But again, I think he's like 24th on the list, so
yeah. Yeah,
doesn't look like he's going to make it in.
Yeah.
But I'd say right now, Orb and Revolutionary are they're decided to pick today. Probably one of those would get the call.
Yeah. All righty. Well, Steve, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week for sure.
All right.
And that's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicap Pursuit. You can get that at the racetracks. You can get it online. You can get it about wherever they sell a daily racing form. And if you want to get it online, pick it up online. It's brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. And it's a lot of fun to read. Steve, thank you.
All right, Ursula.
Talk to you next week. Well, Close Hatches, a three-year-old filly from the First Crop by First Defense, is coming to Kentucky. She's going to run in the Kentucky Oaks. She's undefeated in three starts. She won the Grade II Gazelle in her last outing, following easy wins at Gulfstream Park. She's the second stakes winner from the First Crop by First Defense. The first was racing over in Great Britain, Dundonnell, and he's been a model of consistency, never been out of the money, competing there. And in his only start in this country, he ran an impressive 4th of 14 in the Grade One Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Broke his maiden by 12, then won the Group Three Acom, was second by a neck in the Group Two Champagne. And in his first start this year, he was third in the Group Three Craven Stakes. That was on April 18th. And then yesterday in New York, New Line by First Defense ran second in the Trippy Stakes. He was coming off a maiden special win by 5 lengths down at Tampa Bay. So the First Defense has got a graded stakes winner on dirt, a group stakes winner on grass, and a promising three-year-old at stakes placed in New York already, all from his first crop. A Grade One winner himself, First Defense by Unbridled Song, out of Grade One winner Honest Lady. She's a half-sister by Seattle Slough to the top-size Empire Maker in Chester House, out of the famed Grade One winner and Broodmare of the Year Troussard. First Defense at Judmont Farm, 7,500 live foal. Also the proven Grade One sire Mizzen Mast. You can query to Garrett Orca, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Game On Dude, winner of the Grade II $1,500,000 Charlestown Classic, and Chips All In, winner of the Grade III San Simeon Stakes at Santa Anita last weekend, were both bred by Dina Springs and raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Keeneland's Grade III Ben Ally Handicap went to Successful Dan, a half-brother to Horse of the Year Wise Dan, and the brothers were raised at Patch and Wilkes for breeder Mort Fink. Also at Keeneland, Winning Calls, winner of the Grade III Coolmore Lexington Stakes, was raised at Ashford Stud for Galleria Bloodstock. Quiet Katie, winner of the Road Princess Stakes at Aqueduct, and Free World, winner of the Robert Hilton Memorial, were also raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Quiet Katie at Spendthrift Farm, Free World at Windstar Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers. Why don't you call Mike Warren or David Longmire at McCauley's? Talk to them about the products available at McCauley's and the many free services that come with every bag of feed you buy. The phone number is 859-873-3333. And you're always welcome to visit the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Okay, Kentucky breeders of stakes winners last weekend, over the weekend. This from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, my good friends at the KTA, David Schweitzer, and, of course, Toba. The Kumho Lexington Stakes, we just talked about that. Winning Cause won that by Giants Causeway. Of course, stands down at Kumho's Ashford Stud, Redbud Gallery of Bloodstock. General Election was second. Incidentally, pretty good second, too. By Harlan's Holidays over at Windstar, and by Meg and Mike Buckley down at Three Main Farm, good friends of ours. The Illinois Derby, grade two, Departing won that. He's by Warfront, bred by Claven Farm and Adele Dill Snyder. The Charlestown Classic, grade two at Charlestown Racetrack. Pretty good purse there, $1,500,000, and Game On Dude won it. Game On Dude has now won $4,702,000. And, of course, he's by one of my favorite horses, Adina Springs. He was bred by Adina Springs. That was a really nice race to win, wasn't it? The Santa Barbara Handicap, grade two, Lady of Shamrock won that. She is from the first crop by Scat Daddy. I believe she's from the first crop. Yes, she is. She's wearing over $825,000. Of course, Scat Daddy down at Kumho's Ashford Stud and was bred by Grovendale Sales. Disposable Pleasure won the 60 Sales Handicap, grade three at Hawthorne. She is by Giacomo, Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo, bred by Doug Branham. And Giacomo, $5,000 over at Adina Springs also. The Ben Ali Stakes, grade three at Keeneland, went to Successful Dan, bred by Morton Fink, raised over at Patch and Wilkes Farm. The Ice Cream Silence won the Hilliard Lions Double Dog Dare Stakes, the Double Dog Dare, a Double J filly that raced for Claven Farm. And Ice Cream Silence won that, bred by G. Watts Humphrey Jr. and Louise Ireland Humphrey. The Miami Mile Handicap Grade 3 at Calder, Summer Front won that. That's a War Front, bred by Graceville Breeding. The San Simeon Stakes Grade 3, Chips All In won that. Chips All In, bred by Adina Springs. They had a heck of a weekend. This is a Kentucky foal, but it was by their North Light English Derby winner, incidentally. I think he won the English Derby in 2004 and stands up in Canada. The Sugar Mabel S, presented by Cantor Mid-Atlantic Stakes. Dance to Bristol won that, a four-year-old filly by Bardstown, bred by David Garner. Philly by Sprightstown. What did I say? Bardstown? Sprightstown over at Windstar Farm, one of my favorite horses. Yeah. Carousel Stakes at Oak Lawn Park winner was V-U-I-T-T-U-N Vuitton, bred by Padua Stables. And a couple more here, I think. A Giants Causeway Stakes out of Keenan. A Sweet Cassiopeia, bred by Steve Snowden and Dan Considine. The Calder Oak Street Girl won that. That's a filly from the first crop by Street Hero, stands over at Windstar. James Spence, the breeder. And let's see, one more. No, there's more. The Golden Circle Stakes at Prairie Meadows. Van Nistelrooy Star, bred by Rose Hill Farm. The Musical Romance Stakes at Calder. Starship Truffles by Ghost Zapper. Of course, Ghost Zapper, a Hall of Famer over at another one, standing over at Adina Springs. This one bred by Sanford and Irwin Goldfarb. The Road Princess Stakes at Aqueduct saw Kauai Katie. Boy, you see, that's like going bear hunting with a rabbit hunting with a bazooka. They took her in this. She's bred by Spendthrift Farm. She's by Malibu Moon, who stands at Spendthrift Farm. Free World won the Robert Hilton Memorial, presented by Budweiser. Hot damn. And that was bred by Windstar Farm. The Webb Snyder Charlestown Dash was another Sprightstown. This one named Fearsome, bred by Joseph W. Sutton. And finally, going to get to the Prix Siggy at Chantilly. Went to the Brothers War, another War Front. And this one bred by Joseph Allen. Three stakes winners by War Front over the weekend. Not bad at all. Well, the average starter by Indadob earns $53,000 and some money, and that's more than 26 times his stud fee of $2,000 for a live foal. So if you're breeding a race, That should get your attention. What's more, some 12% of his starters have won a place in stakes. Now, Inadab is the sire of the 2013 graded stakes winner, Head Hard Hoof, won a grade 3 toboggan, also won the True Blue Stakes, and placed in the grade 3 Tom Fool Handicap already this year. He's earned over $490,000, and he's still going strong. Inadab himself won graded stakes sprinting at Saratoga and at Belmont. He's passing on his ability to win graded stakes sprinting. He's the son of Eclipse Award winner sire Phone Trick, who's got 54 stakes winners. He's out of a daughter of Mr. Prospector. Inadab at Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus, DeHare, Hall of Fame Invisor, Jazzle, Mooston Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. My good friend Bill Bernard, Dr. Bill Bernard, I should say, over at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. And Dr. Wesley Sutton is over there also. And two absolutely top-flight veterinarians. Bill is an internist, and Dr. Sutton is an orthopedic surgeon and specializes in orthopedic surgery and sports medicine. Got a couple of new machines over there. There is a nuclear bone scan, I'm going to say, because I can't pronounce what it really is. Scintigraphy, anyway, that you do that with over there. It's brand new. And also they have their only standing MRI in Lexington. So you just be able to walk them in. They take an MRI from the foot right up to the knee. So that if you want to get that done, it's the only place you can get it done around here. What I like about it is, you know, right where you stand with the folks over there, you call them up and tell them you're coming in. They like to specialize in outgoing patients. What I mean by that is you tell them you're coming, you come in, they take care of your problem and send you home. But the best thing about it is they tell you what it's going to cost you right up front. Going to be no surprises. They're going to bill you, and that's exactly what it's going to be. And the prices are extremely reasonable. It's a great facility. Go over and take a look at it. And, you know, of course, Dr. Bernard's been around for some 20 years over in Rude and Riddle before he went on his own. And it's an impressive facility, and they're really good surgeons and internists. So give them a call over there. Go to the website. It's lexingtonequine.com if you want to learn more about it. Lexingtonequine.com. Well, while Spitestown concluded last year, ranked second on the sire list among stallions that stood in this country, and he currently ranks second again this year. He's the sire of six stakes winners already this year, and the earners of over $3,244,000. An added honor, his Essence Hitman has garnered his second Southern Award as the champion sprinter in Canada. Now, Essence Hitman's earned over $1,109,000, and he was one of 20 2012 stakes winners by Spitestown. Yet another stallion at Windstar Farm, sire of a Southern Award winner. Spring at Last is the sire of Spring in the Air. Winner of the Grade 1 Alcibiades at Keeneland, and of the Southern Award is champion 2-year-old Philly. The voting must have been pretty close between Spring in the Air, Spring Venture, and Shawnee Girl, all three by Spring at Last. Shawnee Girl ventured south to win a Grade 2 Goldenrod at Keeneland after Spring Venture had beaten her in both her and Shawnee Girl. And Spring in the Air in the Grade 2 Mazarine Stakes up at Woodbines. Spring Venture won the Grade 2 Natalma Stakes. Spring in the Air and Shawnee Gale and Colonial Down Stakes winner A Lover's Question are all from the first crop by Spring at Last. That's three stakes winners in his first crop, including a champion. And Spring at Last, of course, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1 million by Silver the Deputy. And he stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy of Deanna Packard, a chance team, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Jackie, I was going to say a little something about a couple of those. Go ahead and take care of that. We got to take care of it.
Champaign Run May Day's horse trials at the Horse Park, May 24th through the 26th. Bristnet.com, $75 a month, unlimited PDF PPs. It's called the Performance Plan.
Exactly.
I have no idea when Ralph Quillen's going to open his new saloon because I think he's bought another building. Don't forget Macaulay's Longevity for Old Horses. We feed it, and it crunches in their mouth, so you don't need teeth, actually, because they lose their teeth and they can't chew. So, really, that's about it. Oh, today, of course, is I'm going to try to get out to the cross country again and see the people. People are here from Michigan who have my old filly. So, I'm going to try to get out there and see what that.
All right. I want to thank Barry Ezine for coming in.
That was fun.
Yeah, from Patch and Wilkes Farm. And that farm goes way back. I mean, back when Joe Goodwin and Ms. Joe Goodwin had it. Ms. Goodwin was a car dealer in Lexington.
What did he sell?
I believe he sold Chrysler products. I'm not sure. I never owned a Chrysler product. But
we did. One with fins. I mean, the fins went straight up. I mean, they were hilarious. Chryslers. Oh, my Lord.
But I knew Herman Goodpasture over there. And, of course, some of the old studs that they stood over there. I know that sire line pretty good, you know, because that's where Balladeer went. When Mr. Goodwin bought him from Colonel E.R. Bradley, he could have bought Blue Larkspur. He had his choice between the two. And he took Balladeer because he was younger. And both did very, he did very well with that horse. But a couple of sons, you know, I was talking to Barry earlier about all the white thoroughbreds, you know, and the sire of those things was Kentucky Colonel. And he was by Balladeer. And Balladeer was also sired, well, the best horse that he sired, I guess, was Double J, who was outstanding stud horse, ranked among the leading sires 8 times. Well, I think it was 1965 he ranked second, and third the next, maybe the year before. And stood down at Claiborne Farm, and he sired Spy Song, who was a brilliant spinner, about as fast a horse as I've ever seen coming out of the gate. Only thing I've ever seen come out of the gate as fast as Spy Song. And Spy Song was a foal of 1944, so it goes back away. Was that horse that Danny Burr Jones is right now, that Majestic Perfection. And boy, the day he won that grade one stake up at Saratoga, he it was a big field. I guess it was a 10-horse field like that. And the rest of them looked like they all got left, you know. And he just stayed out in about I was in the 4 or 5 path out there and just led all the way. And he beat the horse that later on was voted the champion sprinter. But I tell you what, he didn't want any part of Majestic Perfection anyway. But Spy Song sire was a good sire. Wasn't as good as Double J, but it was a good one. Double J, Crimson Satan was his best horse. Of course, he sired Royal Note. Stood over at Joe Metz's farm out on Shannon Running Road. What do you call that place? It'll come to me in a minute. After I'll wake you up, Dick, if I think of it in the middle of the night.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
But anyway, that's where Royal Note stood. He was an undefeated 2-year-old. Used to advertise him. He beat Nashville in the sapling, giving him 3 pounds. And he's used to advertise him as the only horse of Nashville's age to give him weight and beat him. I remember that very well. Spy Song also had Big Band, Sly Polo, who was a really good filly over in France, Charlie Song, Fulvis, who raced for Dixiana, was and a wonderful producer. I had a mare named Fulmar. By Heron, and Fulmar was in the training at the same time as Spy Song was, and they used to break her off in front of Spy Song so he'd have something that could to run at. And Jack Hodges, Mr. Hodges, was a trainer, said, you know, I probably ruined that mare, but shoot, she won. She was a top allowance winner. I mean, she won some. I don't think he ever ran her in a stake, but and then went on to be a great producer. Duke Defer was by Spy Song, so was Fulcrum. He won a Breeders' Futurity out here, incidentally. He also won, what was that other stake? Oh, he came back and won the Ben Ally also. And Fulcrum did. And the manager, Bud Wallace, down at the Thoroughbred Record, was the advertising manager at that time. he was betting on against him both times. It was, I think Fulcrum had pretty good odds, 7 or 8 to 1, something like that. And he beat Alhambra once, and I think it was, I'm trying to think who the other horse he beat the second time. And Bud hated that horse. he didn't like him at all. Well, anyway, getting back to Kentucky Colonel, who we were talking about, he won the Bashford Manor and the Sheridan and the Juliet. And as I said, it was the sire of the original White Horse, White Beauty. But he had some good runners. Terra Firma was a heck of a racehorse, race for Doug Pruitt of Lexington, and he won races all over. Roman Colonel, Witherite, she was another fat. Little Titus, a fast horse. First Lap. But he was a broodmare sire of champion sprinter named Shoe Crew, who raced for Tony Benjamin and Mr. E.B. Benjamin's, E.V. Benjamin III's son.
C-H-O-U-C-R-O-U-T-E.
It means sauerkraut, isn't it? Is that what it means?
I believe it does.
That's what they told me, but they might have been pulling my leg. I wouldn't have known the difference. Another stud horse that stood down at Patch and Wilkes, where Kentucky Colonel was Papa Redbird, who was also a balladeer. And Papa Redbird won the Arlington Classic and some other races. He sired a really good filly named Oil Painting, who won the Alcibiades out here at Keeneland. And she also won a Mascot and a Distaff Handicap. Had a pretty good horse named Cardinal Sin, who raced all over. I know, this had to be in the early 50s. He was the broodmare sire of Kentucky Derby winner Venetian Way, who was bred by John Greathouse Sr. John Greathouse Sr. Saw him win the Derby, big, handsome chestnut horse. I believe he sold in the 70s. It was a 77,000 as a yearling, which at the time was at the all-time leading sales yearling out at Keeneland in the fall. And he saw Mr. Music, who was an unraced son of full brother to Spy Song, who was a pretty good kind of a racehorse. He was windy. 7:30, Mr. Jive, he sired. Broodmare sire, Bold Hour. Well, Quiet Katie, winner last Saturday to the Road Princess Stakes at Aqueduct, and winner of 6 of her 7 starts, including 4 graded stakes, and earned an earner of over $733,000. Is by Malibu Moon. So's Orb, one of the favorites for the upcoming Derby. Malibu Moon currently ranks 5th on the sire list among those stood in North America. Temple City, also at Spendthrift Farm, is out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. He's one of some 140 stakes winners by Dynaformer. In fact, he is the only track record-breaking son of Dynaformer at stud. Temple City, a graded stakes winner and a track record breaker with a great sire pedigree, is eligible for Spendthrift Farm's popular Breed Secure program. It's a win-win situation for you. Also eligible for the Breed Secure program are the stallions Dominus, Lionel David, Notional, Patio Prado, Warriors Reward, and Wilburn. So get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker over at Spendthrift Farm. Here's your phone number. It's 859-294-0030. And see the website at Spendthrift Farm. At Win Secure program, boys, everything to win and nothing to lose.
Hey, horse racing fans. Grab your smartphone and text HORSE to 84700 to get the coolest horse racing app ever. Horse Races Now delivers entries, results, live video, and replays to your phone fast. You can customize Horse Races Now to follow your favorite horses, jockeys, and trainers. It's like having the racing program to every racetrack right in your pocket. It's fun for kids and adults. Remember, text HORSE to 84700 to get your Horse Races Now. And watch for me on Horse Races Now. Message and data rates may apply.
In the depths of my purse, I found what I was looking for, cross-country schooling days at the horse park. It is indeed, as I guessed, May 6th and 7th. It's $35 for our session. You can go in the morning or you can go in the afternoon, and they're going to do it all summer. You can get a pass to go all summer. There's one June the 1st, July 7th, September 7th, so give them a call at the horse park.
Found it in your purse, huh?
Found it in my purse because I cleaned my purse up.
Well, you had to.
I had to.
All right. Well, winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show were saddled by Philip Jones, Tom Bergen, John Paul Puchek, Bill Hickey, Billy Harden, Matt Frazier, Tim Shue, Jimmy Cargan, Greg Birchall, Tim Shue again, and Jim Rankin. So we've had a pretty doggone good year. Got to sign off with thank you, Mary Jane, in the studio. Thank you, Ressie, here. And we'll talk to you on Derby Day.
Keep smiling up.